Our guest today on Directional Motivation is Craig Libous. He's CEO of Executive Recruiting Consultants. And Craig has been recruiting since July of 2000 and has grown his agency from just being himself to being one of the largest the largest non-franchise search firm in the state of South Dakota. His organization now recruits C-level to mid-level types of roles, ranging from CFOs, GMs, staff accountants, and operational supervision. His agency's recruiting efforts involve a number of industries, including accounting, agricultural banking, engineering, manufacturing, and telecommunications. He's also heavily involved in the industry's development and has been featured presenter on Next Level Exchange program. He's also been asked to share his expertise with publications and broadcasts such as USA Today, MSNBC, The Wall Street Journal, Fox Business News, Dave Ramsey, Career Builder, Agri Insights, and various other journals. Craig, it's an absolute pleasure having you as a guest on Directional Motivation today.
Thanks for having me, Russ. Really, the pleasure is all mine.
Well, Craig, let's take a moment right up front, and if you can tell our listeners maybe a little bit more about your organization, like your current size, the type of recruiting that you do, and maybe the success that you've experienced.
Sure. Starting out, been recruiting since, July of 2000, so I guess going on 12-13 years now, and it's been quite a ride. We've had some peaks and some valleys along the way, and we're currently, from starting in a spare bedroom to, now having two locations here in South Dakota, and we've got 10 full-time team members along with 3 part-time operational staff. We're continuing to grow. I think we've got a great team that we've tried to develop and help train. But honestly, the success that we've had doesn't happen without these guys. And I've maybe helped steer the ship a little bit, but honestly, it's the people that we've brought on that have quite honestly helped us in the success we've had.
Mm-hmm. I know you haven't always been at the top, so to speak, but can you tell our listeners maybe your story and maybe characteristics that you possess that maybe you feel have kept you in the game on your road to success?
Oh, yeah, it's quite a story, Russ, really. I guess I tell it as much as I possibly can when we have 2 new team members come on board with us as well. And it's a story of basically I worked for a large franchise recruiting firm for about a year and a half, ended up breaking away, went out on my own, and that was in the year of 2002. And if you remember anything after 9/11, the economy had kind of tanked and the recession was kind of taking hold, and quite honestly, there probably wasn't a worse time to start up a business, but maybe there wasn't a better time either. But that year, I'd been married for about 5 years at that point. We were expecting our firstborn in December of that year. Didn't make a placement for the entire year of 2002. We had to switch industries. We had a non-compete. There was a number of different areas that probably challenged us in regards to recruiting, challenged me, I should say. Challenged my family as well. But, from running out of money to about September, I'm a guy that doesn't like to take out a lot of loans and take out a lot of debts. But with that being said, I had no other option. So I ended up working actually nights at a local grocery store chain, stocking shelves. Would get up, maybe get a couple hours of sleep if possible, recruit during the day, and then repeat at night. And quite honestly, that was a very humbling time. But it was also a time that I think really made me focus and probably even become more intense on what I wanted to do, and that was to make this work. I had made up my mind earlier that there was no other options. This was going to be it, and we were going to make this work. Now, when my son was born, I think we had, 8, 9, 10 bucks maybe in the checking account. I mean, talk about it being extremely motivated. There was nothing more. You just look yourself in the mirror each day and say, I'm going to make this work. I don't know how, but I'm going to make this work. And then things gradually, with the grace of God, got better. And you know, we started starting having some success and making some placements, and then in about 2007, I had a good friend and now partner of ours, Travis Peters, approach me and say, "Hey, have you ever looked at expanding the business and maybe hiring on yourself?" And quite honestly, at that point, I hadn't, but we did, and Travis has just been a real blessing to us, and he's done extremely well for himself as well, and we've kind of just springboarded from there, adding a couple other team members as things go on. My brother and Adam Myers, you know, we've got guys now that are going on 5, 6, 7 years here with us, and we've been extremely blessed. So it's been a fun ride. I would never want to do 2002 again, but I would do it if I had to.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that because I've read a lot of stories on success, you know, of individuals, and when you talk about the persistence and the absolute commitment to the final vision, so to speak, regardless of what the odds were against you. It seems like those stories and those characteristics seem to intertwine through every story out there. And that when you see people go from little to much, it comes back to the character of the individual. And so I applaud you in that. I really do. And you know, we've had our own share of battles here on our side as well. And again, I would say that we probably embrace the same characteristics. You know, I'm not going to fail. I'm not sure how I'm not going to fail, but I'm not going to fail. And keep on moving forward. So it's really, really, you know, a great thing that you mentioned that. And I know that there's listeners out there that are going through some tough times, no doubt about it. And so I encourage you. And you know, one of the things that we want to do with the directional motivation is to help people. And so that probably draws me to my next question is, what drew you to us? And Craig, I want to also mention or ask you at this point. At this time, you've been giving your perceptions and some insights and that type of thing. I'd like to formally ask you to be a core advisor to our group, if you'd be open to that.
Oh, I'd love to be, Russ, and actually very honored and humbled at the same time. You bet. I would love to. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, some of the things that probably drew me to the directional motivation group was, number one, was the people. Knowing you, Russ, knowing Darren, knowing some of the people that you've associated with, and many of you probably don't know the story, but Russ was an initial mentor of mine way back in the day when I started in this business, and I can tell you that Russ's experience, his passion, his ability to help others, and there's, I truly believe there's two types of people out there. I think there's givers, and I think there's takers, and there's no doubt in my mind that Russ is one of the givers, and him and his team that he's associated with here with the directional motivation, I think all have that same trait and those same personalities. So that was one. But another thing is, gosh, you know, it's totally driven, once again, I think, to help and benefit people in a number of different ways. You know, two, I think anyone can make use of the services provided. The additional services I think that Russ has got planned, I think are just outstanding. I think some of the membership, the Maximum Motivation membership, just provides great information. There's some resources on there that can have a pretty profound effect on some of the people's lives. You know, for the price of a coffee at Starbucks, you can have access to some of this information, and not to mention some of the coupon members, which you can use there. It's what a neat idea. It's just great. I'm sold on it.
Cool. Craig, I know that you're a strong... we talked a bit about you know, building your business, that type of thing, and I know that you're a real strong advocate of Dave Ramsey's approach to living. And for some of our listeners, they probably aren't aware of Dave Ramsey, number one, but tell us a little bit about you know, Dave's philosophy, his approach, maybe how you've embraced that and what it's made, how it's made a difference in your life.
Well, you know, that probably takes me back to probably 2002 again. You know, I don't know exactly when I first heard or listened to Dave Ramsey, but it had to be during that time period somewhere. But Dave Ramsey is a kind of a financial guru out there, personal finance, business finance, and, you know, you've heard about him, maybe you haven't, but he's, you know, kind of the debt-free living guy, and focuses on that and eliminating debt and trying not to borrow money to do most things. You know, it's just, I guess it's a principle that made a lot of sense to me, especially in 2002 when we were, you know, going through some of those real difficult times with our own personal finances. Was, hey, what can we be doing different than maybe what everybody else is doing? You know, you hear those fly-by-night talk show type things, you know, borrow your money into real estate and do this and do that. And honestly, a lot of that stuff just never made a lot of sense to me, probably because I'm just not real sharp. But two, also, I just never wanted to borrow money. I just felt it wasn't something that was real conducive to overall success. And, you know, so that's a principle that we still live by here at ERC. I mean, we are a debt-free company, you know, and we honestly, I don't really want to change those plans down the road either. So, I mean, if we need something, we got cash, we'll buy it. If we don't, we don't. I mean, that's just pretty simple principles that I think, number one, it eliminates stress in your home life. You know, you eliminate some of that debt, you eliminate some of those pressures to buy things that maybe you do need, but maybe you don't need them right now if you don't have the money. And I'm an old school kind of thinker. I'm 39 going on 72 probably, and you know, I drive a 2002 Lincoln Navigator with about 160,000 miles. My wife's got a 2006 SUV. So I mean, it's just, we don't live the high life, you know, and we live in the same house we moved in 10, 12 years ago. I mean, it's maybe more of a personal decision. And I can't say it's for everybody, but honestly, I think it's helped us. And so that's our approach to it. And I don't know if it makes any sense or if I'm just kind of rambling on that, but, you know, certainly feel free to check him out. I think it's DaveRamsey.com too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. Number one, as a very strong believer myself, from a biblical standpoint, you know, says that the borrower is you know, servant to the lender, and that's one of the things that I looked at. But debt free living to me is so important because debt, what it does is it limits your alternatives. And what I've really seen from a recruiting standpoint is that individuals, when they get faced with a downsizing or, you know, a reduction in pay and that type of thing, all of a sudden they are in crisis mode, you know, in a huge way. And yet I've dealt with individuals that have approached the debt-free approach, and they've had downsizings come. They say, you know what, we've got 6 months worth of living expenses in the bank right now, and so we have some time. We're not going to make a hasty decision. We're not going to accept the first job out there because we're still focused on career as opposed to job. And I think what debt does is it changes your perspective on life. And, you know, that's one of the reasons also that I developed directional motivation. I use this analogy, and a lot of people don't realize this, but and I'm writing a book on this, talking about the value that a raise can make, going from an hourly to a salaried position, you know, that type of thing. 50 cents, just 50 cents increase in pay results in over $40,000 over the course of your career. So we take a normal 40-year career, $41,600, just a 50-cent increase in pay. And one of the reasons that I mention this is that just by raising your value level to your employer by only 50 cents can have an absolute drastic difference on your retirement funds as you go. And so that's, you know, those are things that directional motivation is geared to do, is to help people realize their potential. That just by doing a little thing in their life, such as, you know, approaching their job differently, change their perspectives, give them goals, and understand what maybe tweaking some things can really make in the end game for them, is really important to us here. And so we've developed some resources that will help in that regard.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I actually have had a chance to read your book, How to Get a Raise. And anybody that's out there that's in the workplace or maybe is looking to get in the workplace, I would recommend picking that up. It's a great read. It's an easy read, but there's some really great tips and insights in there. And once again, it's How to Get a Raise. I think you can find it where, Russ? Amazon and all over
the place? It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. We also have it on our Directional Motivation website as well. And, you know, I wrote that specifically to be a short book. I don't even know how many pages it is, to be honest with you. It's probably in that 80, 90-page type of thing. But I wanted it to be a resource that was usable, that people could pick up and apply the principles right away and have a profound effect on their life. And so we've really gotten a lot of feedback. I've had what's interesting is it's written from probably a dual perspective in terms of an individual in the workplace and then from an employer's perspective, and helping each other or helping each side understand each other in the raise process. And if you understand that, it will make a tremendous difference, a profound difference, in how you approach a raise scenario. And so am I plugging my book? Actually, I'm plugging it for the benefit of people. You spend, you know, $5, $10, whatever it is. But it can have a profound effect for you over the term of your life. And that's what it's for. And so that's
great
why
book.
I wrote that.
Great book. I'd recommend it.
Good. Craig, you've been an executive recruiter for years. Let's talk maybe a little bit about interviewing, strategic career development, for a moment, from your perspective. And, where it may be younger candidates hitting home runs on interviews, where they struggle in the interview process, that type of thing. And what advice can you give? What are you seeing, like, with new graduates coming out of college, for instance, or people maybe younger in their career going into interview settings? Where are they really doing well? Where are they struggling, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think a lot of, we work a lot here in the upper Midwest, so the candidates that we see when it comes to younger candidates are entry level, maybe more in the agricultural side of things. And what we've noticed there is we get a lot of just really good kids that are graduating that, quite honestly, are pretty humble, are looking to, take that step in their career, that first step. Now, the ones that I see that are hitting home runs are the ones that take that approach, are pretty humble when they come into the interview, are probably more focused on what they can offer the company, what they can do down the road to be successful for the company, and not focusing on themselves. Now, the ones that I see that really struggle when they're interviewing is, hey, what can you offer me type mentality? And, sometimes that persists in the younger generation. Sometimes it persists in the older generation. But those recent grads coming out need to take the approach, because right now we're in an extremely competitive market for new grads and companies looking to bring on those type of graduates or new entry-level type candidates. So I think having that approach of being, hey, what can I offer the company versus what can they offer, turning that mindset around, and number one, focusing on how they can help that company, how they can help that company grow, not necessarily how the company can help them grow. And I think if they take that approach, stay humble, be personable, and quite honestly, show that they're willing and able to be trained and are not afraid to take some risks and maybe do some things that they're not used to doing, they'll find success, and they'll have some success as well.
Mm-hmm. Contrary to what the media has portrayed, employers are looking to hire. Would you agree with that statement?
I agree. Absolutely. There is a lot of, right now we're inundated with job orders, which tells me that there's a real need out there for quality, qualified candidates. And maybe they're not seeing it. Certainly with the baby boomers now, with retirement, there is going to be just a huge amount of openings here in the next 10, 15 years, and maybe even sooner than that. But, I mean, it's coming, and there's companies that are hiring today. Now, if you're watching the news and you're seeing that there's a fiscal cliff that we might be falling off of here and America's about to end, you need to stop watching the news, okay, and focus on some things that are actually happening, okay? We're going to be all right. Now, honestly, whether or not, we're in the right direction when it comes to our leaders, I mean, that's for another debate and question. But honestly, you got to stop watching the news and help create your own economy. And I think once you do that, once you focus on that, you're going to be fine. But stop listening to the naysayers.
You know, one of the things that I believe in is we create our own success. And by that I mean it's the approach that we take, whether we're aggressive or reactive. And what I find in interviewing individuals, I say, what have you done in your search to this point? I haven't gotten any calls yet. And I'm kind of sitting here by the phone waiting for it to ring. And I'm kind of surprised. I thought I would have more calls coming in. And you realize in those conversations that individuals are really not very active. They're not networking. They're not looking for ways to better themselves. It's interesting. I've offered our services on directional motivation, which teaches you how to interview, lots of interviewing tips and things to help you in that process. And I've had the conversations with individuals, and I say, go to our site, make use of it. And this is the same individuals, that are sitting by the phone. And what I find in following up with them, crazy as it may seem, it might be 2 days later, 3 days later, and I said, so what do you think of the site? And were some of those things helpful? And they'll say, well, I haven't had time to get to that yet. And you kind of go, wow. So what message does that send? And what employers, when I'm talking with employers, they find the same thing. They'll find candidates that haven't taken the time to research their company. They haven't done anything to find out more about industry trends, things like that. And so they might get an interview, and they go in, and they don't know what's going on. And employers are saying, wow, you haven't had time to research? What have you been doing? I don't know if you found that to be the case, too.
Well, absolutely. And once again, if you're a candidate listening to this and you want to try to find that next position, make sure you're doing a little bit more than the next guy. And if you're sitting by the phone waiting for the phone to ring for the next employer to call you, that's just not going to happen. Okay, you need to get out there and network, research, make some calls, find yourself a good search firm and a good recruiter to work with. Now, whether it's Russ and his team or whoever, get out there and find those people that can help you. Now, the good recruiters are going to tell you whether or not they can help you. And if you're not hearing from them, call them. Say, hey, what are you hearing? Well, I just don't have anything for you, but check out this site. Make sure you check it out. Get out there. Do your research. See what else is available. But be proactive. Be proactive. I mean, that's if I was hiring, that's exactly what I'd look for. I'm not going to look for the guy that doesn't call me back. So that would be my advice.
Sure. We're going to talk in the next segment. We're going to transfer into the Maximum Motivation membership site, and we're going to cover some topics in the next segment with you, Craig. Talk about maybe some of the openings, specific openings that you're looking to fill, market trends that you think will have a great impact on newer candidates to the marketplace now, and how you can really benefit by working with a recruiter, some of the other topics that I think would be really beneficial for our Maximum Motivation members. And so we're going to transition here a little bit. We'll talk about some of the resources that we're coming up with in the direction of motivation to help people, too, that I think would be pretty cool. But I appreciate you taking this time, Craig, and we'll transition over here to the direction of motivation.
Sounds great.